This is CliffCentral.com. The Leadership Platform is brought to you by Sibanye, a proudly South African multi-commodity mining company.
Welcome to Leadership Transformation Platform. It's great to be with you, transforming towards an empowered society. Welcome to Periscope viewers and our special guests in the studio that I'll introduce in a moment. I'm Adrian Groenewald, and sitting on the side there is Louis Groenewald, but all the mics are taken up, so we'll pull him in just now onto the show. We're kicking off with our Leadership Masterclass. Of course, the first hour and the first half hour is a Leadership Master lesson, but today we're going to look at a very unique book. Okay, it's... I don't know. I'd never do a project like this. It's a massive project. It's Perspectives from the Front Line. It's I think there's about 89 contributors, 56 chapters, 1,000 plus pages, and featuring the foreword, of course, our very favorite, certainly on this show, Advocate Thuli Madonsela, who's been in the studio a few times with us. And we have an ebook on her leadership out as well. So we like the fact that her name is on it. And in the studio, we've got Theo Veldsmann, who's a regular on the show, Professor Theo Veldsmann from UJ. We've got Andrew Johnson, and the two of them are editors. And then, I don't know, actually, in fact, Wilhelm, if you're editor or publisher, but we've got Wilhelm Kraus in, founder and CEO of Knowledge Resources. So, gentlemen, welcome.
Thank you.
Good to have you with us. In general, you're going to have to convince me that the world still needs a thick book like this. I'll tell you why in a moment. And I think you'll be able to convince me. Last week, a reminder, we replayed the interviews with Solim Simanga and Herman Mashaba, the two new mayors that are shaking things up. And don't we need that in the country? Gosh. And then 12:30, we zoom in a little bit more on leadership with Wilhelm Kraus, who's an entrepreneur and he's in an interesting business himself. And staying with us will be Theo Veldsmann. We'll just discuss leadership in a little bit more in the context and through his lenses and maybe expand even more on the book. We have a book review very quickly at 12:30 as well. All right, gentlemen, this book, we've got a mock-up in front of me. It's, as I said, 1,000 pages, a lot of contributors. It's a massive, daunting task to do something like this. I know just writing a book of 200-300 pages on my own, what a job that was. Done it a few times, but then this is project management. This is much more than just an author writing a book. So, but let's kick off and say, how was the book conceived? Who had that thought? Where was it? Was it over a lunch? Was it, how did it, Wilhelm, where does it come from?
Adrian, yes, you asked the question, why do we need another leadership book? So, from Knowledge Resources point of view, we've been publishing books for 20 years already, business books. And we've published quite a number of leadership books from specific authors. But we felt that we need a product that that will handle the multiple perspectives around leadership.
Yeah.
We'll develop focus on the different context within which leaders are functioning.
Well, where did the idea start? Was it just ping in my head, let's go for it? Or was it a conversation? Was it a process? I like to get a feel for where it was born.
You couldn't sleep a couple of nights, eh?
I think the bottom line is, you mentioned that the world needs leaders. We have a 500 billion rand industry worldwide, and in the end, if you look, one study and piece of research of the other tells you that leaders are failing. So we felt, look, let's come up with a monster. Let's tackle it from every single different angle and focus on the South African context, also Africa and the emerging market context. There's a need for that in the world. Most of our international books are focusing on a U.S. Western sort of ideology or context.
So and our shelves are sort of saturated with American books and, I don't know, American speakers. And I really like what I see in terms of the content.
So if I can just continue quickly. Theo is the go-to guy in the academic environment, in the consulting and so on, as far as leadership is concerned. So we approached him. I wanted to get together a fantastic team that knows what they're talking about. Andrew, on his side, runs a world-class leadership development school or academy at ESCOM again. So when I approached both these two gentlemen, they jumped at the opportunity to allocate two years of their lives to focus on this book.
We won't comment on the means used to get us to jump.
So I picked up the 2 years thing. Is this a 2 year project?
Yeah, yes. It's been 2 years since the conception. Could I just come in with what Hallam said? You're quite right. There are literally thousands, maybe if it's closer to a million, of books on leadership. But essentially, if you look at the leadership literature, there are two kind of sets currently. The one is the academic kind of books on leadership that are aimed at the academic market, and they speak to the academics in terms of teaching and research. The other extreme is the kind of how to do leadership. It's just the Covey type, Max Kinwell type work.
Steps you take, whatever.
And good stuff there. None of these two. But there's a real gap in the middle. And that is, and that's the approach we took, is leadership as an organizational capability and an intervention. And looking at that from a strategic leadership value chain, what must guide the thinking of organizations about their leadership? And essentially, apart from the scene set in terms of the toolbox, how you can look at leadership, the rest of the book deals with understand your context, understand what leadership excellence looks at that. So it goes stepwise, the sections with the associated chapters, goes through this value chain. So the real use of the book, as we conceived it, Andrew can come as well, it is a book that should lie on the desk of the CEO, the likes of Andrew, the heads up leadership capability in the organization, as a reference. I now have to look at leadership attributes. So the book is also 3 to 5 years into the future.
Almost like a leadership dictionary. I mean, we'll unpack it a little bit. Yeah, it's a real reference on many. I'll go through it just now, the burning issues that you touch on. The more I looked at it, the more I realized, I didn't see the whole picture as I was a little bit involved in the background, but this really is like a Bible of leadership in 2016. But Andrew, why did you jump at the opportunity? Well, what spoke to you?
I think for me, I've been in the leadership development space for most of my career. And I think one of the things that always kind of baffled me was, year after year, we churn out millions of rands of leadership development programs. And yet next year, we're back at it again. And fundamentally for me, what was the issue with regard to the book, and I said to Willem when he approached me, if we are going to tackle a book which is theory-informed practice with a focus on practice, but also a focus on theory. In other words, it's not just theory about, follow these 5 steps as to how to be a good leader, but there's no theory underpinning it. So a critical piece for me was there need to be a strong focus around a theory that can inform practice of how to go about doing leadership.
Yeah.
And that for me was probably the thing that kind of really excited me about being part of a project of this kind. And I think it's also with the intent, obviously, with me guiding leadership practice within organizations is to, what are some new perspectives as to how can we go about tackling a very difficult and big topic, which I believe needed to be tackled from various perspectives, almost like it's building a picture where every one of these different perspectives we have add to the broader picture about leadership, rather than to say one of them is actually the one.
And I think also important for me, it is, you mentioned 56 chapters, is the strategic leadership value chain allowed us to integrate this stuff. It's not like the chapters are just a set of Lego blocks thrown together. They are very nice, what Andrew said, diverse perspectives on, and it shows the richness of leadership. Mm-hmm. And I also think Willem, in his wisdom, by approaching myself and Andrew, brought theory and practice together. And we had tough discussions between the two of us in terms of, looking at this chapter, does it meet our requirements, going back to authors? I mean, I wrote a couple of chapters and Andrew came back and he corrected this kind of very theoretically. He pulled it into practice. In some cases, I pulled practice into theory, so to speak.
Let me just say, I think the world is always ready for almost any leadership book, but particularly now. I mean, and don't ask me to explain in great detail why I'm saying it. Obviously, I'm in the middle of interviewing leaders. I'm in the middle of thinking leadership, writing. It's just so timeous. Your timing is perfect. In South Africa, leadership is at a pivotal moment. In fact, globally it is. Mm. And this could certainly be one of the gospels, one of the key books that could assist leaders. For a moment, let's divert and then come back to the content. What was it like running this project? It must be frustrating. Busy people, individual consultants, experts, authors in their own right, having to, I tasted it. It was a pain to get things done and get it through, and you had to follow up and keep the relationship. I mean, it's a massive project. How did you achieve that? The deadlines, it's not an easy feat, is it?
Andrew?
Go for it.
I think first important for us, we had to get the authors or the people we approached excited about the project.
Yeah.
And then we had to create a general frame of reference for the book, such that where we could get it, we sat the whole Saturday with the respective authors and workshopped kind of the philosophy of the book.
Mm.
Then they had to provide us with draft outline of the chapters where we checked kind of does it fit, are there overlaps, duplications, etc. And then I think the important thing throughout, and there's Sia Jube, who's the project manager from Knowledge Resources, to keep the people informed where we are on the project. So they always felt on board. And I think that was good. Also, we used Dropbox, so anybody had the right to comment on anybody's chapter. Mm-hmm. And there were not a lot of that, but a couple of times people would say, I've looked at that chapter, okay, I'm aligning myself. So we use technology as well.
Just very quickly, someone asking on Periscope, I think, is the book available online? Will it be?
The book will be available online
everywhere,
in a week's time. The official launch or the time when the book's going to be on the shelf will be first week, next week, from Monday onwards. So they will be able to get it online. They can go to our website, www.kr.co.za.
Well, Alan, is it one of the bigger book projects you've taken on?
Well, let me put it to you this way. It is the biggest business leadership book ever published on the continent.
Mm.
So within that genre, it's by far the biggest exercise we undertook in the publishing side, and from any publisher in the country. So... I want to add to Theo's comments. I think the fact that we brought most of the authors in for a workshop, brought everybody on the same level in terms of what the expectations are, and that eliminated quite a lot of duplication that you normally get in like a project like that. The authors, I think, contributed fantastically. Most of them, when they were invited, said it would be an honor to be part of this project, you know. Mm. So they were quite motivated. Finding time is obviously a problem always. Mm. I mean, there's a lot of interruptions in our society. So in the end, we did slip here and there in terms of deadlines, but we're very happy with how the process went. I think most of these sort of big mega book projects sort of either fizzle out or it takes years to really get to fruition.
Andrew, I must tell you, I remember sitting with Stephen R. Covey, author of Seven Habits of Highly Effective People and many other books, and looking him in his eye and saying, your books are too thick, Dr. Covey. And he said, yeah. He says, if I had to do it again, I'd make it, you know, much thinner, if that's the right. So in principle, I agree in our busy lifestyles that we don't necessarily have time to read thick books. But for some reason, this is an exception. This is a reference book. It's a, it's not a coffee table book even. It plays in a different league. If you're going to write a thick book, it's this.
Yeah.
Okay? Don't just write a thick, interesting book. There are obviously always people who will read it. But in general, the guys you want to read it, I mean, come on. Very difficult. Although they're often in business class flying, I guess they sometimes have more time to read than their junior managers. But this seems to be the exception, right?
Sure.
Do you agree with me?
No, absolutely. I think Theo spoke about the fact that we designed the book around a range of themes within a broader integrated leadership value chain in the organization. From the moment that you think about leadership, right to the point of measuring it and in between the assessment and development that needs to take place. somebody said to me last week, I can't read such a thick book in English. This person is from Israel, in fact. And I said, you know what is good about the book is that while it is thick and it's got all of those many chapters in it, it is sufficiently, there's sufficient differentiation within the book, whereby you could actually tap into one or two chapters without having to lose the storyline, because it's not the kind of book that you have to read from beginning to end.
No.
Obviously, in terms of us giving a sense of what the framework could look like in our introductions, a person would have a sense where you're going with it. But your interest might be at this point, oh, I want to know a little bit more about leadership assessment or leadership measurement.
Coaching or whatever.
Exactly. So you tap into that particular chapter. You don't have to then start at the beginning. It may be useful, obviously, just from a setting a frame, is to read the chapter that Theo and I wrote about just giving a framework to the whole book. And then you have a sense where you'd be going. So you could you can own in and out of the book at various times in reading it, basically.
So maybe I can put it this way, just linking on what Andrew said. The book has got a Google map, and we try to make the towns very clear and the links between the town. It's now to decide for you which part of the territory you want to travel in. And I mean, if you explore a territory, you don't do all the towns. It's what your need is at that stage. And we try to pitch it along the value chain in such a way. Ah, it's currently I'm into the issue I'm facing now is identification and growth. Or the issue is I can't get my leadership group to work together. Or I'm picking up a lot of stress and and I need to build resilience. So you zero in. It is a reference book. It's a kind of a companion to your journey that you want to travel with leadership as your capacity.
Louis, sitting in the background, some of the, I mean, I like this burning issues that you find in the book, discussed in the book. I mean, I can look at each of them. And when I went through this list, I realized, okay, damn, this book is so relevant. For example, multi-generational leadership. Now, I haven't read that, but I can tell you this, where the whole fees must fall, surely you've got older political leaders who don't necessarily understand how these youngsters think and feel, and there's a there's no connection there, and hence the whole mayhem. Ethical responsible leadership. You ask anyone about that. I was asked to speak at Wits Business School now in October on ethical leadership. Cynthia Schumann, is she not somewhere one of the authors here? Okay, because she's strong on ethical leadership. But I mean, ethical responsible leadership. Wow, we're looking at our environment. We're looking at ethical or lack of ethical leadership in South Africa, big issue, worldwide a big issue. And so we can go down African leadership. I often have people saying, hold on, we just westernize our leadership. It's time for us to understand African leadership. What exactly is it? Let's not just say Ubuntu. There must be more. What is it? So I'm sure that'll be fascinating. Women in leadership, big issue these days. Big issue. Entrepreneurial leadership. The answer to our country's economy lies with entrepreneurial leadership. It lies with SME leadership, small business leadership. So no doubt that's very relevant. Change leadership. Change is constant. And so I can go down this list, authentic leadership, diversity leadership, board leadership. Boy, do we need that. I mean, I can start a conversation with you on every one of these burning issues. Team leadership, burnout, derailment, toxic leadership. We touched on it on one show, Theo. Leadership assessment, development, and coaching. So yeah, I commend you. I mean, anything you want to say about these burning issues? Wilhelm, Andrew, Theo, anything you want to say about those? I mean, those are very relevant to me.
Maybe to pick up the one which you mentioned first, which is multi-generational leadership. It's almost like you don't have to read that. Let's talk about the issues now happening in higher education. So you'd combine that particular chapter with one which we wrote on higher education, leadership in that space.
That's right.
You could combine it with political leadership to understand how these different things actually contribute to or contribute to the problem or enable solutions to it.
Are you thinking about that as we go along here? Because that's very good. Well said.
So
bring
so,
the two chapters into the context of today.
So I think the reader must almost look at it in that way to say, how do I combine this particular chapter with the other and see what are the kind of themes and critical issues emerging out of that, or even perhaps giving us solutions to what we're thinking of. So that's a way that I would look at it.
Yeah. I mean, also like the leadership attributes that that there are about 10 different discussions, virtue, leadership, wise leadership, etc. It's also for us, we try to not, and Andrew's got this nice expression, the cold food warmed over again. We try to really look at the future, that 3 to 5 years out, and what could become of the key attributes, the key context in which leaders will have to lead of the future. And also under the section of context, we had, Andrew, I think, about 10 different or 12 different sectors that we're looking at where the dynamics are different. The school sector with Louise that wrote a brilliant chapter on how to get leadership into our schools, then into the higher education, then the business, the professional. And we asked of each of those contributors at the end of the chapter to give a view 3 to 5 years, maybe 10 years out, what will be happening to their sector? What's the future perspective? I mean, the amazing one for me was the one on professional service firms, the likes of Ernst & Young and PwC.
Or big engineering firms.
I mean, what they're doing like that, it is what they shared that you'll have in future in-time, real-time auditing. Not once a year, the end of the year. No. You'll be at any point in time have a reflection. They'll have robots doing the stock take. They'll have drones, if you like, a mine to survey your assets and things like that. The whole automation of that industry, which you think, you know, is all about expertise. It's amazing. I mean, the sports chapter as well. What's going to happen to the sports sector? It is amazing. It's going to become a business, fully commercialized in future. And then we have amateurs running that. And no wonder we're doing so poorly in some of our sports sectors, because we've got people that are leaders that are completely mismatched to the new world of sport.
We'll expand a little bit more on content, maybe in the second half as well, but your favorite part of this whole book, Andrew, and then I think, Bilalem, you also, your favorite part in putting this book together, what did you enjoy most about it?
I think it was about reading, especially in spaces which is not part of my kind of day-to-day work. So, for example, the one that immediately springs to mind is sports leadership, you know. It was quite fascinating to read and understand what is the thinking going into that currently. What are the challenges emerging for leaders within that kind of space? That was quite interesting for me. And then other kind of very burning kind of issues, I think, in organizations. The whole issue about deeply toxic leadership we have at the moment and the blindness to it. I think people can see, everybody kind of recognize that we have this very deep toxic leadership, and there are very good examples of that all over the place. And yet there is almost like a blindness of recognizing the impact, the very adverse impact this has on organizations, and the need to begin to look at this thing very differently. But it's also going to require very hard, authentic conversation in organizations, which the question might be, are organizations ready for that right now, given the fact that we have leaders in many instances with mega egos as to how they think about business and how that operates within our society.
Nam, your favorite?
Well, my favorite is quite simple. I had a discussion with Ixonia Nyasulu, who was until very recently the chairperson of Sasol, of the main board. Incidentally, she also serves on Unilever's main board. But in the discussion with her, it went around uncertainty and, you know, you can't forecast the future, disruption in the business models and so on. She says, top leaders today, and this is my favorite quote, top leaders today, it's like playing tennis in the dark. And I thought that was describing it so well. She says, you don't know where the ball is coming from. The ball hits you. You don't have much time to reflect on it. You have to pick yourself up and play the game further, you know?
You know all the shots. You know the game well. Yeah. But playing it in the dark is a different ballgame.
Exactly. Yeah. Very so good I point. Think that was quite...
And you've got profound. No weather forecast as well.
No weather forecast.
And then, by the way, as Andrew said, to deal with people that you haven't met before that can give you multiple perspectives on so many areas. And then specifically also the last section, and Adrian, you were involved in that as well, is to compile that list of what we called leadership stories.
Yeah,
where we
yeah.
have a section on the most influential leaders of our country.
Of different industries.
Exactly. So there were household names and not so household names.
Yeah, and that's what, something very important is we tend to want to learn just from the very prominent people. We must be careful. You've got incredible leadership. Mm. Your level five leaders that we read about, that you often don't know who they are, hidden in the communities, doing magnificent things. If we can replicate what they're doing, we'll be in good shape. I mean, you've got the specific sector-specific insights, business leadership, political leadership, education leadership, community leadership, environmental or sustainability leadership, professional services leadership, as you mentioned, Theo, spiritual or religious leadership, and sports leadership. Very comprehensive. I don't know. I don't see SOE, state-owned enterprises there, for example, Andrew. I would have thought, certainly in the context of South Africa, I guess there's an element of business, there's an element of different things there, but that is a very specialized, challenging area to lead in.
We actually do have a chapter. Yeah.
Do you?
Chapter 15.
Okay. What does that say?
It speaks about public sector.
It's not in this document I've got. Okay.
Yeah. So in that particular chapter, we do cover the issue of SOE.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah.
You really have everything in this damn book. Yeah. Okay. I thought I got you on something.
You know, you ask what was really enjoyable for me for the book is two parts to it. It is the chapter that Johan Coetzee wrote. You know, we're romancing leadership. It's just this good stuff.
Mm.
And Johan claims that he has coached in the order of 28,000 leaders. And he wrote leadership as he saw it happening at the front line. The brutality of it, the bullying of it, where he says that leadership is, they are the custodians of the soul of the organizations. They are destroying it. And what he does, what is very brilliant about his chapter, he does the first part and you just want to walk away from leadership, so despondent you are. And then he turns it around and says, what must we do so that leaders truly become the nourishers of the soul of the organization? That's the one. The other one is, and we actually all three contributed to that. Andrew took the lead and I contributed. Valam, is where do we see leadership going to in the future? And then there we really, the last chapter, really tried to stick out our necks. And I mean, in the end we said, for the future, apart from the trends, and it becomes, you know, where do we find this godlike leader, so to speak, the words of Wilhelm here, is it is about we'll have to reimagine leadership at a very deep level, a really deep level that we've never dealt with before, and it's the things that Andrew specializes in, action science, that we reprogram leaders for the future. Otherwise, we ain't going to make it.
So I can see us drawing from that a lot to create content on this show.
Mm.
Our leadership master lessons and these authors, a lot of them.
Very much so.
So, you talk about these different issues and I just go, ooh, I'd like to who's the coach guy?
Johan Coetzee.
Johan Coetzee. I mean, we spoke about leadership coaching last week.
Yeah.
Had some great coaches on, but man, I would like to pick his mind.
Call him.
I really would.
Yeah.
And then, of course, your view of leadership into the future, very good. I think, Louis, we've got a good frame of reference here for conversations over the next year around leadership and much more, as well as individuals that can come in. Just finally, the most important elements of the book, and then just where will people look for it? Where will they find it? I guess everywhere in a week or two's time. Valam?
Okay, I just want to make one comment about the book again. And that is that the book, as Andrew said, we said it has to be fresh, but at the same time, it must be able to defend itself within the academic rigor.
Mm.
So we did have the book a blind peer reviewed in the academic circles, and the feedback was excellent.
Mm.
At the same time, there must be enough for a reader to sort of implement the next day after she's read it.
Mm.
And there's wonderful, as they say, nuggets in that respect. The book will be available from next week, touch wood. It will be available at all exclusive book stores, as well as from our website. They can contact us, as I said, www.kr.co.za.
KR for Knowledge Resources. Yeah. All right, so really, there's no excuse. You can find it. And you're saying you want every CEO, every person interested in leadership, truly interested in leadership, senior executives, politicians, educationalists. I mean, you've created a book that probably everyone except a father or mother maybe who's also leaders. I guess they could also benefit from it. I bet you you'll find an answer for me there. So anyone and everyone who's got some kind of leadership responsibility can value from this very thick book. Thank you so much for sharing your time with us. We're going to continue the conversation after the half hour. A little bit more. Also look at Knowledge Resources, an interesting business. It's been around for 20 plus years. 25 years. So we have an entrepreneur in our midst who's been reviewing leadership books and authors for many years. And we're going to continue the leadership conversation there after a brief book review with Lorraine Tlapolosa. So stay with us.
This is CliffCentral.com.